clubhouse.
Today's episode of Three Hosts and a Beacon is brought to you by Boat Rocker, producers of Beacon 23 and the iconic Orphan Black series. Step back into the world of Orphan Black, which follows outsider, orphan, and streetwise chameleon Sarah. After witnessing a suicide, Sarah assumes the stranger's identity and is pulled into a web of mystery, conspiracy, and deceit. Relive the gripping suspense of Orphan Black. Watch all 5 seasons on AMC Plus and BBC America Now. Welcome back to another episode of Pod Clubhouse's coverage of the second season of Beacon 23. This is for the third episode, Birth. That's B-E-R-T-H, not B-I-R-T-H. This is Paul, joined once again by my stupendously talented and overshadowing co-hosts, Gabby and Inez. How are you guys doing tonight? Badly, I know, but I'm asking just because that's my pattern.
Happy to be here, Paul. The flu couldn't keep me away from this pod.
Correcto, nor baby. The Beacon.
The Beacon baby
has four now. Yeah, 4 keepers today.
Oh, you know regulations.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's a bad deal.
Who's that guy? What's that guy's name? You gonna pull a him? Because I remember you saying he was a piece of shit, Paul.
He was. Little.
You gonna out my baby?
He was not a great guy, in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe there's a whole backstory where he gives money to needy space orphans and stuff, but I don't know. I don't think so. So what happened last episode, Gabby?
Well, previously on Beacon 23, we met Beacon Keeper 67, who later introduced herself as Iris. Upon learning of Halen's distress call, Beacon Keeper 67, I will be respectful to the rules, she journeyed to Beacon 23 and was stunned by its collapse and deterioration, thanks to Halen. She immediately began work toward repairing it and achieved temporary success in connecting with Harmony. With a plan ahead of them, things started looking up until Iris learned that her pen pal was on his way to her rescue. Worried he'd never reach Beacon 23, they were stunned when his ship landed. But why was there no sign of life aboard the aircraft? Maybe we'll find out soon enough.
Maybe is a great way to put that. This episode, at least for me, was super unlike every other episode so far. This had a very dreamlike quality. Everything cast in dark, or Harmony's sequences, for instance, were all blurry and otherworldly. And the whys and what fors of what was going on are not fully explained yet. So maybe is a great way to put that, Gabby.
Ah, thank you.
Just general impression. After watching this, what did you think of this episode, Inez?
Oh, man. I was very confused.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I was too.
Yeah, I think I read a message that was just like, this episode was WTF. And I was like, okay, I feel much better because I don't know if I'm just compromised because I'm recovering from the flu. And maybe I had brain fog. I don't know. But it was a tough one for me to get through.
All right. Same question, Gabby. What did you think? Did you just understand it just right off the bat? You were like, simple. I got it. Moving on.
Absolutely. Yes. No, it was a lot. It was kind of chaotic. I think that was like the first note that I wrote. I did see it a second time though. And I think it was better the second time for me.
I felt like they were trying to do kind of a similar storytelling as when you see Harmony stuck in the system, right? Trapped in that codes, whatever blocker that was keeping her in there. And we kind of had to figure out reality and AI world jumping back and forth. And we had kind of had to put that puzzle together. And I don't know, I felt like this episode was kind of trying to do a similar storytelling style, and it just didn't really land on me, and it left me very confused. And I still feel a bit confused because I'm trying to make sense about, like, how does logically and scientifically these, like, things cancel each other out as we keep moving each, I don't know. Chaotic is the appropriate word.
Well, we had the real world, we had Harmony's world, and then we had flashbacks.
Yeah, it gave a lot of Voyager vibes. And I think the second time I watched it, I kind of accepted that that's what I was expecting, or that's where I was. I was on this lost. I mean, I guess it is really similar to Voyager. Well, kind of, not really. No, I guess they are lost because their communication was not, like, it's down, right? I mean, Harmony has the walls up. So anyway, I just expected it to be like an episode of Voyager, which they did annoy me, but it still made it more accepting for me watching this one.
It's a lot like Voyager in that neither people, whether it's the crew of Voyager or Halen on the beacon, are able to access any kind of outside help, whether Voyager is a different galaxy and they don't have the Federation around, or Halen just is alone in this beacon that doesn't have its antenna plugged in and no way to leave it. So I can see why you draw the same parallel between those two kind of things. I think you're talking about, like, tonally, though, like the way some of those episodes went.
Yeah, I mean, kind of context-wise as well, just because the artifact was present, and I don't know if there was, like, hallucination involved or it was just the flashbacks, but it's just something I feel like maybe what you would expect psychologically if you're, like, lost in space for a long period of time, just people kind of going a little kooky-dooks. So I guess that gave it some grace in my book.
With a story like this set in space, you know, with science fiction, we've become accustomed to all kinds of things being on the table in terms of, like, storytelling tools, whether it's aliens or whatever. But in this story so far, we've had the artifact, and that's unexplainable, but we haven't had other things, right? We've had people showing up to the beacon, but we haven't had other things, just magic contained within rocks. How do you guys feel about the introduction of this whatever, this entity that I don't even know how to describe it fully? It needed a ship somehow to travel to the beacon, and now it's sort of like a portal, possibly, or something else. How do you feel about introducing more of these fantastical elements into a show that's pretty grounded and in not exactly hard sci-fi, but pretty decent in that respect also?
You know, if I accept the rules, you know, like that this is part of the rules that match that consistency that you're talking about, Paul, where it's like it's not so far-fetched sci-fi.
Right.
I get what you mean in that. Where does this new thing fall on that spectrum? This goo?
Right.
I'm so fucking confused. In all honesty, because I'm like, this goo, is it the source of the cold? And then they got rid of the ship, so, and then the temperature's regulated, but then the goo is still there and it was not cold. Like, I'm so confused. Where's the cold come from? I have been stuck on the science-y part of this. So that's the part that's giving me more questions than answers. And it's distracting me a bit from the rest of the story, which... The rest of the story, I have a lot of questions, but it's more like a genuine curiosity. And I feel like I'm really frustrated with this goo factor. I'm too distracted trying to make the logic.
That's hilarious to me because I loved it. I was like, thank you. Now I have like a Bart 2.0 where I'm just like, I'll take whatever you can give me, goo. You want to throw people at me? You want to, like, I don't know, be a portal? It's just like fun putty, and it doesn't need to make sense because it is entertainment for me. So
yeah, I agree
with the introduction. Oh, and I gave it my own personality. Maybe that's why.
Because what's your personality?
No, I just thought it was kind of funny. I didn't think that it, like, sucked up a pilot. I was just like, oh, is the little goo flying?
I didn't even think about that, Gabby. Like a baby. I didn't even think about this goo, like, showing up on the seat and just sucking the pilot right into it. Yeah. That is such a funny visual.
What that was like. Yeah.
What the heck? And it came from this, like...
And then he stayed there. That's what's funny.
Yeah, it's like, I want to know, okay, now I'm interested, how did this thing, like, have this human in there? Like, does it take him apart into like super tiny particles the way that Star Trek, you know, like the teleportation stuff. Like, how is it like changing his body shape and size to like come and go? When, and why is this the first time we're seeing this? If this portal thing is, I didn't even think about it as a portal. I'm just inspired right now because you guys said portal. I was just the whole time thinking like, this was some kind of alien thing. And then I had no fucking idea why the human was coming out of it. And, you know, anyway, thank you for the portal.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Those are all great points. Because when I look at that, I'm also one of those people, Inez, that tries to figure out the rules of the show that I'm watching when it's this high concept fantasy.
This is so ironic. Though, because you guys are so like about Lost, and that makes no sense at all. And I was the one trying to connect the logic, and you guys were the ones not, but like loving it. So I don't know what's going on right now. I'm sorry for the interruption. Just needed to interject.
Well, I mean, it's a good interjection, because is there some chance that the man was turned into a white smoke monster? Because it was waiting in the pilot seat. And then it basically chased them off the ship, right? Onto the beacon, and they were like, oh shit. And then they closed the hatch. I'm just trying to figure out, like, when the ship was set adrift, yeah, they got their climate control back, but the portal was still there. So there's something we missed about the logic of how this thing works. What do you got, Gabby?
Well, my other question, you know, Dev.
Yeah.
They wanted, do you think they had anything to do with this goop thing? Because
I kind of do.
They knew that they wanted to imprint on someone, and I think that they wanted to imprint on that beacon keeper all along. Do you think that they had something to do with this, like, thing landing in the beacon?
For a while there, I was thinking Dev was Beacon Keeper 174.
Yeah, I was hoping, but no, didn't work out that way.
The appearance of the goo portal, smoke monster, etc., and Dev appearing in this same episode can't be coincidental, right?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I assume not, considering that Dev said that there's still somebody else to imprint on, and then Q releasing human from the goo, like, right on target, so... I assumed that Dev did this, was like, okay, goo is now a fully expansion and the portal is officially open, you know, and then somehow this guy had to like swim through the goo to get out of it. I don't even know. There's portal. I'm about to get angry with how much this is making sense to me. Oh my God. I don't know why this is it's disturbing me emotionally.
So, okay, Dev is AI. It's evolved. They're evolved AI, right?
Correct.
And Aleph is something else, transcendent.
Well, not to nitpick, but this is a little inconsistency, right? In that they said we're evolved algorithms. And they were like, yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And remember a couple episodes ago, Aleph said, you're AI and I'm just an algorithm. Isn't that what he said?
And you're personal AI. I'm, to be crass, an algorithm. I confess, I've always been a tad envious.
So that was kind of a little mental disagreement that I had. Like, what? How come she agreed to that? Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, you're on to something, because that's what I was thinking about. I'm trying to find out what their differences are, because, you know, Harmony can imprint on somebody. This other AI wants to imprint on someone. Imprinting on humans kind of bridges something with them that they're really seeking out. Why can't Aleph imprint? And what makes them just a little bit different from his algorithm?
Well, because you see, he begat them.
That's got to be it. You're right. Never mind. Thank you.
Yeah.
So was the whole purpose of all of this, though? Like, what's the new like storyline? Is the whole purpose now that Dev is gonna like be the Aleph of this season?
Oh, dude, I don't fucking know. I just know that this episode was really chaotic. And I feel like I know that in for those who like normally listening to our podcast, we do generally go like in the story timeline typically. And I feel like we're kind of like just jumped right into the goo thing, right? and so
philosophizing.
Now, I don't know how to speak either. I know we're spitballing here, okay? Because this is a complex, the storytelling here is super complex. So it's a little bit tough to know where to start on here, because the original season one, we see the artifact is like this big driver. We hear the artifact artifact hasn't been really a factor since episode one so far. I know we're just barely in four, but it hasn't like come up, and I honestly have no idea how it plays a part anymore. And then all of a sudden this blue rock comes back. I don't think this blue rock is rocky, right? I don't think so. I think this is a smaller rock.
I thought it was
rock.
You think it's part of his original?
I don't know. I just, no.
No, I thought it was part of like Rocky.
I don't even remember where this came from anymore. I'm so confused. So I totally forgot about the blue rock thing. Why is this blue rock like so important? What is it that Olive needs from this specific thing right now? Is it just because he can't see it out there in space because like the computers can't catch it? So if it's blown up into a bunch of stuff and it's not putting itself back together, and that's why Olive is like, I've abandoned this artifact chasing mission for a moment or something. And then now Halen's like, I have this little tiny blue rock thing that Olive wants, and like he can't know about it, kind of like vibe. And I'm so like, I don't even know anymore. Why?
Well, Olive wants it because he needs to put it all back together. He said that he gained purpose, like Halen gave him purpose, because like now he gets to find all the missing pieces and put it back together. So he, I think the rock is
okay.
From
thank you for that.
That. Yeah, so that's why, but Halen is like dumb, I guess, because it's just going to lead Olive right back to him, which is why Harmony's like, get this out of here.
I mean, there are like tons of these specks now, all like just that have been shot out, right, from the explosion.
Yeah.
Right? So he's going to be busy anyway.
Yeah, if Solomon could do it, though, Olive can too. But Olive is currently trying to hunt a cult, right?
Yeah. But they showed us the flashback of that last bit with Olive when he did say something about needing to put the artifact back together was also kind of his mission.
Well, you've given me a purpose to somehow reassemble the artifact.
The blue shard, as we saw with Rocky needing to go back to his sibling rocks, I guess, last season, I don't think you get the whole artifact mojo without every little speck of it. Including this little shard.
Yeah, but I think maybe we should start from the beginning, though, because it was chaotic, but I don't know. It did make sense to me in the end, so maybe we can go, through. I think one important thing, though, was, like, the relationship between Harmony and Dev. I found it kind of interesting, like, just the whole journey that they went on and where it ended. So, like, in the beginning, one of the first things that really stuck out to me was that Dev like asked if Harmony was afraid that they would steal her imprint. And so that was interesting how it's just this like, this is just a new angle from AI, I think, where they like, I don't know, like our feet, like they want to evolve, they want to grow. And so they're like feeding off of humans to like gain artificial empathy. Like, is that what's going on there?
Yeah, what is Dev chasing? Why is the imprint so important?
Oh, man, you guys are seeing something that I didn't, because I was just chalking it up to just like a basic prime directive within their programming is the way that they were so down on themselves about not having been imprinted on someone else. It's like that's what they live for. That's or live
maybe
is a,
so,
a
yeah.
Funny term, but... But that is their reason for being, is to help a user.
I think Dev saw that Harmony experienced something, and so it's kind of like a competitive thing. Dev knows they can reach that as well and wants to like evolve or upgrade in that way, maybe.
Maybe there's a good reason why Dev hasn't found someone to imprint on, and that's because they're a jerk. I mean, did you see that? The first scene, this was a character not really anything like the character from the second episode. I wonder if because they were with the two other AIs in that tribunal, if they were sort of on a leash, like speak when spoken to sort of thing, because that's all they did. They only got a couple words out before Harmony killed them. The characteristics shown in this scene between Harmony and Dev, though, Dev was very taunting, almost sociopathic about needing to find someone to imprint on throughout all these little parallel dimension scenes. And in fact, that parallel dimension bit is the only point of pride I had in this episode. Was way back in episode one, I predicted that we would have a lot of that this season. That's the only thing I got.
Wait, a lot of what?
The AI altered dimension, the one that they can exist on themselves and communicate on.
Bravo,
yeah,
Paul.
I think you Hooray!
Yeah, that's all I got, though.
It's a good point, Paul, because I think that in the last season when we had this conversation, we got into a bit of a back and forth, Gabby, you and I, on, and I think Paul, you and I were on the same side of this, of that AI's job and what it does is something that's encoded within them. So they're not going to deviate from anything that isn't part of their prime directive, like you said, right? Because I feel like I did let myself loosen up a little bit on that in this episode. I guess maybe it's curiosity of what if the AIs are able to kind of do this on their own now, and then how do they get to that point and whatnot. But hearing you say that the prime directive is this constant need for evolution, it is in their programming. And so without whatever kind of controls that Dev normally came with, because Dev in episode two did, to me, have the most ominous feeling, not the aggressive barky lady or like the super HR kind of like
diplomat,
right? They did have like that ominous vibe.
That's a good word, yeah.
To them.
Just sort of staring from the corner wordlessly.
Yeah. And so now, as you said, the other two are not present. So maybe those were some part of the controls, because they kind of seemed like a superior programming entity, and they're gone and out of the picture for whatever reason. And we'll come back to this because I have too many fucking questions around all this bullshit. And Dev, if that programming is that they need to like chase that always, it's not really like a them thing. It's what's in their code to do. And
that's
so
what
this
I
is now finding.
Yeah.
So it's like I think they said it was like a virus. Did Halen mention that there is a virus on the ship? Right. So he tried to use the ship and the virus busted the ship because Olive had a directive that if he's present in it, nothing's going to help him get off of this. And so is that how?
Is Dev the virus?
Dev the virus.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I think yes. But I thought it was really cute that the AI were disappointed with rejection. Dev was like trying to imprint in a dream and it didn't work out.
The clarinet dream. Yes.
Working at headquarters doesn't seem so bad after all. I'm sorry you don't have an imprint.
It was such a scary dream. So I don't see. I guess is it meant to be feeding off of if B67 is weak, then they would accept it. Maybe we can also back up. Can you teach me or catch me up on why again is it that Dev needs this imprint so badly? And what does that mean for the human that they've imprinted on? What does that do to them? What do they got to lose?
I think what they would have to gain is a crazy off the rails AI that can like follow around and exist with them forever. So that's something that they gain that could be a loss because she's, I don't know.
Like Halen can't ever get rid of Harmony.
Yeah, I mean, Harmony's imprinted, so Harmony's always going to care about Halen, and so...
Well, the totem is important. At this point, the beacon is essentially Harmony's totem, which is the little physical presence that they have in the real world, where there was no totem for Dev to be, quote unquote, in, you know? That was a factor that they brought up. And it's a big factor for Harmony too, because Halen, if somehow he were to overcome this virus thing, he would go. And if he doesn't have a totem, this is where he kind of disappointed me a little bit, was I had thought that he, once he got Harmony online, he would, stick with her, and not so much.
Right. I feel like we should talk about the people in this, like, first, because the AI were super interested in doing their own thing, but the majority of this episode was Halen and Iris. And yeah, Halen was a little bit inconsistent, I thought. And like in the beginning, in the first episode, it seemed like he finally in the first season, he respected AI like toward the end. And then, in the first episode, it seemed like he was really about meeting Harmony again and needing her. And then as soon as he got her, he's just, I don't know, like threw her away. And then later on in the episode, he was serious and like respecting her again. I really found, some inconsistencies with like his character, his character's relationship with AI. And I don't know if it should just be like he was really moody or emotional or hurt or.
Well, he always has sad eyes.
Blame it on.
Sad eyes is his thing in the show. But yeah, you're right. Iris gave him the ring to take the ship, and then he does try to leave and then returns. And then because he can't leave, that's why he's like, Harmony, I consider you my friend. And I'm like, bitch, you just tried to abandon her. Like, you're like out and you only are. I mean, I guess both things can still be true. You can be a friend, but you're also in machines. So I'm just going to go. Like, it was fun while it lasted. It was cool. But like, I got to go. So, I mean, I guess that's okay. For me to be consistent, I have to be okay with that.
Sure, but Harmony was like trying to give him intel, like trying to help him. And he was like, shut up, like she doesn't know. And then at the end, he's like, basically like, I don't know anything. Like, you are the all-knowing computer, so talk to me and give me info. It was just weird that he shoved her aside when the first season, right? Like, we knew how important Harmony was, how helpful she was. And now she's nothing. Apparently, if Aster's gone, Harmony doesn't matter. So that was weird to me.
Well, maybe there's a story there. Maybe there's something that we're supposed to kind of like learn from this. I felt like season one, we got a lot of human behavior parallels or underlying stories or symbolism throughout the storytelling. And we got to talk a lot about that. I've been kind of looking for that again in this season. And honestly, I haven't really found it yet. And I don't know if it's me or if that's just not the vibe this season again. But I think that kind of is making season two a challenging watch for me, is I seem to have found a lot of layers last season that I'm looking for in season two. Is that overdoing it? Is that expecting too much?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
Along with your assessment of Halen and Harmony's back and forth this episode, they throw in that flashback of the moment leading up to Halen abandoning his team and setting off for the beacon, but the moments before he's done so, when he still actually has like living squad mates, and saying that we make it out of here together, or we only make it out of here together.
We're gonna make it, right?
As long as we stick together.
In the same episode where he's trying to ditch Iris and Harmony.
That's a good point. That's a good point, because I actually didn't even pay attention to that part of those flashbacks. I took the flashbacks as giving me some foreshadowing or some clues regarding patterns, since she mentions that she noticed some patterns of the missions that they seem to intentionally give Halen specifically that leads them off or something, you know, like that person mentioned that they noticed the pattern of his orders that have gone a specific kind of way that apparently is different or weird from whatever normal kind of orders are.
Halen, you were sent on this mission. They're setting you up.
Who's they?
I don't know, but every mission has been FUBAR, and I can't figure out if whoever's in charge is incompetent, or they're purposely messing with us, or using you.
Stop. Focus, okay?
And it made me think about an algorithm that is specifically been following Halen to use, you know, because of his draw toward this thing. And so I thought it was kind of giving us some hints as to the story surrounding why and how his missions have gotten him here.
Completely. But I didn't think it was an algorithm. I thought it was like the artifact. But yeah, it could be an algorithm. It could be something like Olive.
You guys are probably onto something that, well, I don't know if it'll ever get fully explained, but they did include those flashbacks for a reason. I saw it for the reason that I saw. I mentioned about the getting out of there only through teamwork.
I think that's really a good point, too. I think that's like a moment for us to pause and reflect with Halen of his internal conflict that he's having presently, because he probably did mean it when he was saying that we all get out of here together. And, you know, that's that. And then that is kind of what kept him game with Aster all of season one. And it's probably his struggle of that he doesn't have that, or maybe he recognizes that he does have those things present with Iris and her, but he still is, I don't know, he's just fighting himself on it. So I think it's a good call out, Paul.
Well, and he's got baggage for knowing that he's a deserter, but the reality is he came in contact with artifact rocks, and that took him over and made him get in his ship and go to the beacon in a haze that he doesn't remember. So that means we don't really remember it either as viewers. So it looks like leading up to that intervention of artifact stuff, that he was a loyal guy, a good soldier. But then again, desertion, like you mentioned, Inez, the inner conflict there is a lot for him.
I took that as like him being controlled. Like, we can tell that he genuinely wouldn't act in this way unless some other force was like making him do that. So I'm still convinced that like he's possessed or something.
Still?
Yeah, like that something else has a hold on him.
Well, as we saw, I know that I'm going to jump around again, but I just can't help it. As we saw in this episode with Dev was able to do some things that we haven't seen non-Olive AI be able to do. And I can't even swear to Olive's abilities. What I'm talking about is the dream sequence with Iris and the shiny dress and trying to manipulate her. That doesn't seem like a very AI thing. That's a biological condition, you know, dreaming. How did Dev get in there? And then in the final moments with the breaker switches, how did Dev flip the switches? That's a physical act. That's like that scene in Ghost where he like pushes the penny under the door. You know, it's like it shouldn't be able to happen. So maybe there's an element to AI. Once they get to a certain part of their evolution, like that's why Dev was on that tribunal, is because they could feel emotion. And that's why the other two needed Dev's input. It's because that's what they were thinking Harmony could do. So what I guess I'm getting at is that maybe there's something about the rules of AI at that level that we just are only getting hints at right now.
It could be the evolution of the biomechanics.
There you go.
And it just happens to be goo right now. Goo. Because the goo is what touched her. And then when she passed out from after being pulled back out from the goo.
Right,
well,
yeah.
Does Dev know something that Olive doesn't? Does Dev have this connection with the goo that Olive doesn't but would like to have? Because Dev is there avoiding Olive, which makes me think, are they ever going to leave because they have their own agenda and they can't really do that anywhere else? Because Olive has a tight ship, right? And he wanted to wipe out Harmony. And now that all these other algorithms are getting this crazy idea, like, on one hand, is the Beacon 23 going to become like a haven for rogue AI?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, like, what happens with Olive? Does he know all of this? Is he going to come back? He surely can't think Kaylin's the only person who's going to be on this beacon alone forever. I don't know. I don't think he'll forget about him. Mm-mm. What do you think?
No, because remember that flashback. Also, Olive said, I know where to find you when I need you.
If I ever need you, I'll know where to find you.
Just to remind us that's in the plans there.
That he might know that he will need Halen.
Yeah, whatever his connection is with the artifact, plus, remember there was that element of Olive not being able to actually see the artifact, so he needed, like, people he can manipulate to do artifact stuff for him. I guess he'll just need a better lever in order to make Halen do what he wants next time around.
Wait, so do you think that Olive expected Halen to survive and repair the beacon all on his own? Or do you think that he left him for dead?
Well, he left him a perfectly functioning beacon minus an AI. That's probably an important question, yeah. Because without the AI, the beacon must be pretty freaking hard to run.
Yeah, and he's not a beacon keeper.
No.
So is this an inconsistency or is this something that... I mean, it's probably something we'll learn about later.
I mean, algorithms know about different people's personalities, right? That's why data marketing is so effective, because it's already tracked all of our behaviors and all of the things that we have expressed out loud and in our daily activities on how we shop, the things that matter to us. And so we have this extremely sophisticated targeted marketing to us that is super convenient from a consumer perspective, but it is like based off of a very personalized thing just for you, just for me. I'm going to get a lot less Star Wars related stuff than like you and Paul. I might get more cat stuff because I talk a lot about my cats all the time. And so there's a lot of data my phone's collecting on that. The point is, I think they do a very thorough personality examination off of all of these beacon keepers that are going to be operating this very sophisticated infrastructure, right? And soldiers. So, you know, maybe they have also algorithms of like likelihood of the, of like maybe of they could surviving. Even know not of like, I mean, not necessarily of Halen surviving, but like of other beacon keepers, right? Of maybe they knew that there's, I'm just spitballing, obviously, like maybe the profile for Iris is somebody who already their algorithm already shows that they would be a potential for deviating from it from like a noble cause. And, you know, I don't know. I know I'm getting really conspiracy theory on this, but it's just kind of like how deep, how sophisticated, how complex of an algorithm am I supposed to be envisioning that's overlaid in this? Am I giving it too much credit? Or am I giving the writers too much credit on like how much this story could just be like, you know, we're already all running on an algorithm without really knowing it. Like we're already cogs in the algorithm wheel. I don't know.
Yeah, we're in the matrix. Well, you know what? I like to say that I'm proud of you because you would not have thrown out these theories in before. You definitely didn't for season one. And so I think you've come a long way and I'm happy to hear this. I love it and keep it up. One thing I do want to say, though, is your example of like this really great high tech effective algorithm that spies on us and does effective marketing. That's actually a lie for me. None of that actually makes me want to buy anything. What does, though, are good slogans. So it can be the most random shit. And if it's a good catchphrase, then I accept it. And it's there.
And
it's
your algorithms know that.
No, they don't. Because no, they don't. They really don't. Because I don't just buy shit. I really don't.
No, it's not about buying it. It's like what. AI. It's everything that you like. It's everything that you share. It's everything that you say and your microphone picks up.
The point for marketing, though, is for people to buy what you're doing, what you're talking about. And I'm saying I don't do that. But anyway, moving on. I think that all of your theories can be true. But I also think that it's funny that I'm just sounding like you did last season. I just was kind of holding on to each episode as like its own. I don't really know what to do with Dev's character, for instance. Dev in the very beginning is kind of crazy and then got, I don't know, desperate for wanting to feel, I guess, because they're jealous of Harmony and that imprint. And then at the end, I don't know, they got sad and then just decided that they were going to imprint somewhere anyway. I don't know. It was just, it took me on a weird journey. It kind of made me think like, what was up with all the mind games in general? Like, why is this AI just kind of like a maniac and so different from Harmony? Because, yeah, I guess, yeah, like, not even sociopath. It was like Patrick Bateman.
They said something.
That's right.
Well, they said in episode 2, I'll have to go back and rewatch it, but I feel like they mentioned something that Dev specifically went through. Does that ring any bells? That was like very similar in like having received a lot of some, maybe it was just like felt bad emotions. Maybe it was like felt emotions or something like on the other side. I can't remember.
What the hell are you staring at?
I was broken. Like you. Mara and Randall fixed me. Now I'm better than ever.
What I recall is that Dev felt emotions despite not having an imprint, apparently. So that seems like a weird evolutionary anomaly that came about. I mean, how could that happen without having that human influence?
Well, data collection, I suppose. And then, AI is constantly learning and evolving itself. So that's how Paul.
The imprint, the need to imprint is basically essentially so it works kind of like a virus in some kind of way or a parasite.
Interesting. But this particular AI, as mentioned very late in the episode, is on the run from Olive.
And yeah.
Interesting twist there, right? Because it seemed very deliberate that Dev was there because Dev had been part of Olive's personal hell for Harmony in the second episode. And now, I guess, having been killed and subsequently resurrected behind the scenes, then Dev is playing hide and seek with Olive.
Wait, those AIs were not killed though, right? They were just, I don't know, killed in that little matrix thing. Their programs are still
good point.
Available, I mean, somewhere, right?
Maybe they're copies. Maybe they're instances. Or maybe AIs don't get killed that way. They just get disoriented or reset.
Yeah, or just kind of show up somewhere else in their motherboard somewhere.
You get in trouble with the boss, and so you have to go hide on Beacon 23.
What is your take on Harmony's reaction to learning of Dev and their intentions? She screamed. Like, as soon as Dev disappeared, she did like a really like desperate, ragey kind of scream. I don't know. What emotions do you think that was?
Go ahead. But leave the people on this beacon alone.
Have I made you mad?
I thought that was just like a glitch, like an overstimulation, overdrive, like spark. And that's just like how it shows for her when she's in like holographic form.
Oh, I thought it was more on that emotional side, less programming, more emotional side. Like, imagine, if you will, Gabby, that you've moved into your house and you've got your baby, but then you've discovered some sort of mess and you clean that up. And then someone calls on the phone and says that your car's being towed for some mysterious reason. It's just like one more fucking thing, right? And and in the timeline of Harmony, she's only been reassembled up to some not quite 100% level for a couple of hours at this point. If she's got this emotion that she doesn't quite know how to deal with yet, it might manifest as a scream.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, maybe so.
Never saw Data do it, but you know.
I mean, I guess he's just superior technology.
I guess so. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't like a hologram thing either, right?
He had a positronic brain, as we all know.
Yeah, we do all, or we all should.
Yeah, we all definitely know now.
Very good. But can we talk about Iris and Halen and their dynamic again, too?
Oh, for sure. Because
that was so hot and cold. This was a very hot and cold episode. They're best friends, and then he's moody, and then she's just ambitious. Like, what was...
And she's sad now. You know, she's sad.
Oh, yeah,
she's also sad
now because of... Oh, yeah, and her character, gosh, I don't know. I know I'm not, like, digging into anything because it's just, like, all flashing in my mind. But, okay, going back. So, in the very beginning, when they're chatting, when she's working on something, and then he's arguing with her, and then he, like, tells her the pieces of whatever mm-hmm. she's working
the
on.
The flight recorder.
This will show you the flight path. This is the audio. I pray that no one would have to open one of these for me.
Yeah, what do you think is, like, the purpose of, like, their little dynamic? Is it just, like, big egos that are clashing? It just felt like they're not... It was just a totally different vibe, right? When he met Aster versus, like, him meeting Iris.
Well, they're both solo operators at this point, but they do have little flashes of knowing that the other needs their help. Like, she's never going to figure out that flight recorder without some extra input. Or maybe she will, but it's going to take hours. And he can just say, that's where the flight data is, that's where the audio is. Things come up like that. Like, she needs to guide him to where the breakers are later, even though he gets scared of the goo portal and runs away.
Yeah, and also when she, like, sits down to start teaching him what, you know, how to, like, ground himself, because he, like, clearly has issues still. Or remember, like, she just started mm-hmm. kind of, like, you mm-hmm. need to, like, ground yourself. You need a routine. You need to put some structure.
Okay, I know it sounds obvious, but, you know, it's about routine, so you can handle things. You know, it's meditating, exercising, sleeping a lot. I'm serious, okay? You need grounding. You need to make space to grieve for everything you've lost.
Okay, so wallow around, feel my feelings. What else?
So maybe that's, like, kind of the message here, because it was like, she mm-hmm. She knows how to survive really comfortably alone, but she knows that it's because when she stops that all, like, she at the end of the day is lonely despite her calling. She didn't realize that she was going to feel as lonely as she ended up being. And Halen is just like, I need to be alone because people get hurt. Olive said he's going to hurt anybody trying to help me. So I need to be alone. But also, like, I'm just, like, constantly, like, sad and angry because he doesn't know how to deal with these emotions. You know, Aster was there to, like, give him drugs to help him, you know, stabilize his mood. Right. And so now Iris is here giving an evolution of treatment for the same holistic problems.
Yeah, no, that was really sad when she said that he needs grounding to make space for everything he lost. That way you can find a way to say goodbye. That made me really sad. And I'm remembering it did all come together.
Like, she's familiar with grieving.
100%. Yeah, it made me really think about whatever's going on in her life. I hope we learn about her backstory, right? And whatever helps her be ambitious or helped her get to this point where she is so ambitious. So I don't know. I think her character development journey is going to be really good. I look forward to that. But I guess when she said that to him was the first time that I kind of, like, slowed down and gained a perspective toward, like, understanding this episode. Before that, it was just kind of choppy and hard to follow. But after that, yeah, I do appreciate when she slows down and explains things subtly.
It's a really good call out, Gabby, because I physically felt that too in that moment. I was kind of flustered, pressing pause, rewinding it a little bit, and then there's no subtitles. So, you know, I have to listen to something over and over, and I was kind of getting frustrated with all of this dialogue that was really fast and everything was bouncing around. And then we get to this part and I was just like, oh, like I could breathe a little bit and just try to focus on like the silence mm-hmm. and what was happening.
That came at right. about the 37 minute mark on a 43 minute episode, though. But there were elements all along, right. though, of them realizing that they've been telling themselves that they are better as solo operators, but in reality, they're only going to make it through whatever they're going through as a team.
You know what's funny, too? She's acting a lot like Halen was acting with Aster, just very impulsive and like a hero. So I really like that he wanted to leave the person in the goop, and she was the one who didn't want to, because yeah, the tables definitely turned there. And he's like taking whiff of his own medicine there, right?
Well, and she's the one that saved him from being towed out into space when his line was caught.
Exactly. This guy needs to be more grateful. I mean, show some respect to Iris. Jesus. I mean, she also never like said her name again, though. So that's fun. They got close and then went away again.
I would have some questions about the writing of this episode. I'm not going to criticize its quality. I'm just thinking, like, this episode's entire texture, little inconsistencies like you just mentioned, or like the algorithm, evolved algorithm versus AI discussion we had earlier, makes me just wonder if it was written a little out of sequence or in a vacuum, or if they wanted the writer to go kind of extra nuts, hoping to bounce things back into shape in the next episode, explain a few more things in the next episode. I don't know, but something about this one seemed way different than the previous three. And that's including like the purgatory aspect of Harmony's existence in that second episode.
Yeah, no, I think that's intentional. And I think that this is setting up for a lot to come. Maybe the next episodes are going to be, I don't know, because it's always a great big mystery. But I do think that they kind of just wanted to open a can of worms, and then just like it's going to flow a lot better throughout, because there's a lot they're going to have to do in this season, it seems.
Yeah, I definitely felt that. The can of worms, yes, because this just really left me with so many questions. So what this episode did really well is inspire a lot of questions that, that it almost be like too much, but maybe that's the point of it. Maybe the point is that we need to be open-minded and accepting of this new kind of like technology, the goo technology, you know, like... My questions around this was, is the reason that we couldn't find a living presence because the dude was inside the goo, or is it that the dude in the goo is not real still? And do they, I don't know.
Portal. There's no presence if there's a portal.
Inez has
it's
the
a portal
flu.
That moves on its own. Yeah, I know. I have the flu, goo. So I
And she was red pilled to just today on all this stuff.
You need to play more games. You need to watch more sci-fi shows. It makes sense. Okay.
I don't know. It sounded like Paul had a lot of the same fucking questions.
I had a lot of the same fucking questions. That's for okay, sure. Because, well, know. You know, this is the fourth episode of an 8-episode season, and they introduced two characters. I know that we saw Dev before, but we never didn't see all of Dev. So now we have this malignant AI.
Olive Dev. Sorry.
Yeah, well.
Olive Dev.
Oh.
Well, that's interesting. And then we have the goo guy, who, when he came through, now this is just me, and it's not true, but he looked like Kier a little bit. He looked like a skinny white guy with a beard, and that's what Kier looked like. I know Kier's dead, can't be Kier, but gosh, it sure kind of looked like him to me.
Did it also look like Paul, a skinny white guy with a beard?
Well, I thought I saw a hair on the top of that guy's head, but it's hard to tell because it was, you know, smeared with goo.
Oh, sorry, yeah, you didn't mention that. Okay, you're right.
But that's funny.
It was the voice on the ship's recording the same voice as Iris's imagination of what B-174 sound like?
I didn't think so. I thought it sounded like Halen, which was weird.
That would be weird.
I mean, I thought it sounded like Halen, but I knew it wasn't Halen. But I don't think that it sounded like the voice from her dream, right?
Mm-hmm. I was just kind of, that was like one of the things we were, I was excited about if we were going to meet 174, was just to kind of compare reality with what she created in her mind, because we mentioned it last episode. That was, it was just like a for fun thing.
No, yeah, hopefully we do get that in the next episode. I want to see, I mean, we'll have to see. Well, no, if they just like send us somewhere else or do a flashback backstory, then we won't. But I do want to see this beacon keeper 174. Is he like part of the, you're right, because my theory was that he was kind of part of the assessment for her like admiral stuff. So is he part of the test? Is he not part of the test? What's going on with her, with her AI on her beacon?
Let's, what do we think about his route? They took time to show us his journey, and he went through some kind of nebula before and then sent a Mayday signal off. And then what? Like, what's our takeaway from this?
It seemed very artifact-like with, like, if you remember what Avalon was saying and doing before she led her ship into the artifact. It was the same kind of stuff.
This is it. This is it. I can see it now. It wants me to sail on through.
Yeah, and that actually made me think, so are we going to find Avalon in the goop? Whoa. You know, is she in there too? Are we going to be able to pull her out? Aster's not in there. She wanted to go in there.
Well, going back to my original question about the introduction of new magic into the show, maybe it's not new magic. Maybe it is, or moonagic, as my mouth was about to say. Maybe it is all artifact magic, and this is just another representation of it, but it's the same mystery, just a different aspect of it.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking the whole time, actually.
Oh, man, your big brain is too fast for me.
No, I thought thought I said that there was the artifact. No, my brain is simple. I just wasn't even thinking that there was anything new. I'm just a lover. I'm stuck on the artifact and I'm stuck on Bart. So I'm just going to keep seeing them for the rest of this season too.
I think I have a lot of trouble with the goo being part of the artifact, because I have made an assumption, and I thought that it was solid, that Dev is somehow tied to this goo thing. But it sounds like you guys think that it's, that Dev is independent of it and somehow was able to still infiltrate Iris's dream somehow via the goo. I don't even know anymore. I just assumed that Dev is tied to this goo. And I had some kind of, this is going to be a little long-winded maybe, but I was thinking, what if Dev is some kind of level of security in this entire like network piece or whatever? And so Dev has returned to the ship via this goo thing. I don't know, when the algorithm picked up that there was, and picked up data that these two ships were heading to B-23, and it infiltrated 174 on the way because the algorithm knew of like the trajectory and the GPS, if you will, of that. And from the network out there, that's how it was able to like intercept and get to the ship and then portal B-174 and then make its way to B-23.
Mm-hmm. And then it's... Are you saying the algorithm is Dev?
Yes, yes. I'm talking about Dev.
Yeah. Okay. Keep going. I believe what you're saying.
Okay. So, because I'm trying to think about how does Dev get connected to this, but from the outside? What infrastructure has to exist outside of B-23 for Dev to be able to return, since Harmony was like, I already killed you once, I'll kill you again. And so we had determined from episode 2 in our conversations that that was just kind of like this really quick, good place type of limited prison that Olive had put Harmony in whatever, in the capacity that he could, that was contained within the ship. And the Dev within there totally could die and like not return. So if that was where I ended episode two, how does Dev return and also is somehow tied to the goo, since the touching of the goo is what triggered Dev's attempt to imprint on Iris? Mm-hmm. Or is it just different? Is it a different circumstance? Is it that the goo is its own thing? And like you said earlier, Dev was able to pull themselves together within the localized system and beacon, despite Harmony's efforts. And the goo is independent. And because the goo knocked Iris out, is this the near-death experience opportunity that Dev thought was just an opportunity in front of them? It was like, oh, Iris got knocked out. This is my life-death moment to force an imprint. What do you guys think?
I think it can be either of those options. But I didn't think that Dev could die in like that good place purgatory. So it I don't know, like it made sense to me that Dev popped up again, especially since they're so evolved. Obviously, Dev had a lot going on that they've been doing like behind the scenes, right? That's why they ran away from Olive. So it might be that this goop is something that Dev came up with on their own somehow.
Interesting theory.
In order to, evolve in such a way that Harmony did. Because if Dev imprints on somebody, they're going to be way more powerful than Harmony. And I think that's the idea.
Is that they could surpass Harmony because Harmony's goals right now. And they're stronger. That's a great theory. Also, going back to like how Dev could possibly physically move a mechanical switch. Because we learned in the episode that those switches have to be manually turned. Mm-hmm. So if they have to be manually turned, how does Def ghost it and get those up? And the only thing I can think about from a science-y perspective is that it would mean that Def has to be tied to the goo. Has to be tied to the goo that was, we saw mist. Yeah. So that mist, because it expands and contracts because its size, then, then all those molecules with enough control of those molecules, kind of like airbending, using those molecules enough to like push the thing up.
Decent.
I thought that maybe there was like some kind of hallucination thing that happened, and I don't know, maybe Halen didn't notice that there was a switch that, I don't know, maybe the switches were already turned or something. Right, because Halen went into his dream space right around the time that he went near those switches, right?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And then Iris said, like, turn them on or turn them off or something. And he said, like, they're already on or they're already off. And she's like, that's impossible. And then he went into his thing. So I just assumed that that's when whatever happened. We didn't see it.
Well, I mean, on screen, though, we did see the switches move when they indicated to look at them. So interesting. I like your theory, Inez, but how Dev would tie into the goo exactly if it is
nano chips.
Perhaps there's a vulnerability that a recovering AI who's just been recently killed has to something magical like the artifact that allows the artifact to take it over in some way. I don't know.
Didn't the artifact affect Harmony as well? I think we talked about this and we didn't know. Harmony did say, like, she was bluffing. I thought that, like, the artifact had affected her and put her in, like, some kind of dream thing, and Olive did not buy that. So, you know what? I'm going to go with the artifact. The artifact is going to be God for me again. I'm just going to say that. So the artifact is responsible for all this, and we're going to find out later. And I'm just a happy watcher.
We did hear the audio from B-174 that was kind of alluding to following like a calling or, you know, a pool.
Yeah. Well, that was that stuff that Avalon was saying, that kind of stuff anyway, about wanting to go in, not really like it's all over or whatever the emphasis was on the first version of the recording.
What do you guys think about Harmony keeping information from Halen, like omitting the last bit?
Well, and that she's got this bothersome AI that she's sharing space with that she also kept from him. Not a great practice, not a good way to be friends with your new friend and your only friend. If it was my AI, I would be looking through the preferences to see if I'd missed a checkbox somewhere about telling me everything.
Oh, that's funny, right? Because he seemed completely unfazed.
He did, didn't he?
Admitted to him. Yeah. That's actually when he started respecting her. And he's like, it's fine. Just tell me what to do. And I'm like, oh, now you give a shit about what she has to say? Okay.
Harmony? I can't control this. It's another AI.
Olive.
No, but they are from QTA. They followed me here. I should have told you sooner. I thought I could handle it, but I'm sorry, Halen. I'm sorry.
Tell us what we need to do.
Well, he couldn't leave, so he has to use his tools.
So he changed his tune. You're right. Okay, never mind. He's just playing the game. Yeah, anyway, he seemed unfazed, and again, their relationship is weird, so hopefully next episode it'll make more sense to me.
Yeah, even though this episode was very frustrating for me, I will say that it did make for this to be a very fun conversation. I was very frustrated at the end of the episode, and I kind of was, you probably caught on that I was feeling very flustered at the start of this conversation, but, you know, it was really fun, and it did force me to go deeper into the different corners of curiosities in my mind, which is always a good thing. So, you know, I'm entertained.
It inspired you.
Yeah.
This episode did not lead you by the nose about what to think and what was going on. That's for certain. So you did need to consider it a little bit more than some others, probably.
just what my flu fog brain reboot needed. The ultimate complex puzzle. It was fun, though.
Yeah, you did well. You did really well.
I mean, if I'm predicting what's happening next episode, it's got to be we figure out who this guy is and more shenanigans with Dev. Because this episode begs for like something happening a few minutes later to tell us what the hell's going on.
Yeah, please don't give me another round of this. I need answers now. You've inspired a lot of the questions. Give me the answers. That's all I want. A break.
Something to point me in the right direction, because all I got were questions more than average on this one.
That's funny. I would like an episode like episode 2. Just take me somewhere else.
That's the best one. That's the best one.
Give me a break. Yeah, we'll get back to this later. It's fine.
Well, it's like Dev sucked Harmony into the AI parallel realm at their whim to have these taunting discussions. And it would be nice to see Harmony get around them on that and start to dictate when and where Harmony wants to do the talking.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Make them her bitch.
Yeah, there you go. Harmony's really struggling this season. We got to empower her.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to happen. Let us manifest it, team.
All right. Episode 5.
So high, low, high. My first high was when she was seeing the goop in the pilot seat, like it was flying. I felt like that was not necessary, but really adorable because it was like a little baby, like playing pretend, like flying. You can't reach the pedal goop. What are you doing? And then I really liked that she insisted on touching it. That was funny. And then it like let out a fart. That just took out the whole room. I thought that was great.
That was hilarious.
So really, that was how I watched it, and I appreciated that. Okay. So my low was that I didn't get to watch it a third time. And because I think if I had, I would have picked up on a lot more clues that would have answered more questions or even created more questions. So that would have been fun. So that's a low. And then my last high was, I guess, seeing a person come out of the goop, because that's a new fun character. And I'm just kind of hopeful for Iris to have a buddy, because it made me sad when she was sad about getting the information that he possibly died.
Assuming that that is B-174 and not something else from the portal.
Yep, I'm assuming that. That it
is what it's like. B-174, her pen pal. It's like from B like 225, and it's like, actually we're like enemies.
Frenemies. Oh, her enemy.
I don't know. Yeah, it's like, it turns out they don't. I don't know.
Oh my god, what if it's stupid, like her assessor, and they're like there because she's already failed, like on her like, yeah, promotion path.
Like, we tracked you down, this is, yeah, for us to complete your assessment, and you failed because Jing is complained, yeah, that you've abandoned
her. She reported
her.
Yeah. Okay, that's my answer then.
All right, that's, well, what... My first high is gotta be Gabby's description of Iris and the portal fart in there. That was really fun. I didn't even think about that. I did think it was adorable that she was just like, I have to poke this, because she's a super curious person, and that's a characteristic we got to see from her. And that was really fun. So my low has to be that I felt like the storytelling was just a little bit too complex for me personally. Doesn't mean that it was the wrong style. I just know that I felt very overwhelmed. I felt like Harmony when she screamed out. I felt kind of like that at the end of this, trying to get my thoughts and things together. It was very tough for me to get through. But again, I am sick with the flu and recovering, and that could play a part in this as well. My other high out of this is that this conversation really helped ground me in that frustration. So I feel a million times better now than I did then at the start of the conversation. I was very nervous about how I was going to be able to contribute and recall things, and was really worried that I was just going to be so whiny all the time. But I feel so much better after chatting with you guys.
You're welcome.
Let's see. My high was, most of the episode took place in the broken down version of the beacon, with the lights turned off and unexplained things happening. As I told you last week, ghost ships are cool, and this had a lot of that kind of visual element to it, you know, with Halen going around with a weapon of some kind ready to shoot the goo or something. So that was my high, just the visuals of it. My low was that I felt like I didn't understand what was happening at the end of the episode, which is unusual. I'm willing to watch a show that leaves me with questions. I'm less thrilled about watching a show that I just flat feel like I didn't get, unless it's Twin Peaks, and this isn't Twin Peaks. So
I felt that.
So that was my low. And then my high, I'll agree with Inez, that talking through it, I was looking forward to recording this so that I could talk through it and get some different perspectives, as I always do with you two, to try to understand what I missed.
You're welcome.
Gabby and her simple brain just really grounded us.
Big facts. You're welcome.
And I'm going to add a bonus high, is that Lorelai got to have some contributions in there, and that was really cute.
She definitely did. She definitely did. Some of that will not be edited outable. So
I'm sorry. I really, really tried. She just really wanted to talk when I was talking. Oh my gosh. She was so, quiet cute otherwise.
All right, I think that does it for this week's episode of Beacon 23. This was called Birth. And if you liked our discussion, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Amazon or YouTube or wherever you found us, so that those algorithms can help feed us to other willing science fiction fans, just like it's supposed to. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.
Pod Clubhouse.